Welcome into a Wednesday inside the Jaguars. JP Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman and John Osier. And Jeff, I think we're a little bit underdressed today, right? What do you think?
Well, you know, I thought I was doing good by getting a haircut, you know, today.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah, you got one too, yeah. You know, and
I got them all cut.
Did you stop by the David Garrard closet and get a fedora that's obviously too small?
Obviously too, nah, good fit.
No, that is not a good fit. That is way too small.
I like it.
I didn't know your head was that big.
It's a big head. Not going to lie to you.
Ozone fans have got his head growing big.
Yeah, ask some of the readers.
That doesn't fit anymore.
They might tell you otherwise.
As I said a couple times this week, there were too many bags going on, too much of that theme. This is a fedora. It's about pride. I have no pride, but the fans have pride. So this is a fedora about pride.
And you're wearing that until the Jaguars win, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Until they break out of the funk.
I like it.
Just get one that fits for next week, please.
We'll have to work on that, guys. Jaguars are back on the practice field today in the fog, getting ready for Houston on Sunday at Reliant. You know, there were a lot of guys working on the side today, and we've been talking about these same guys for weeks now, but a couple of them are getting closer to the field, right?
Yeah, Rasheen Mathis and Dwight Lowry both worked on the side. Greg Jones was on the bike. It's a situation, all three of those guys are going to be monitored all week. I think it's very much a questionable status going in. I don't think you can really predict it either way. I would be surprised if all three of them play, but we'll see what happens.
And Maurice is for certain out, right?
As close as it can be for certain. I mean, I wouldn't say for certain, but they're obviously acting as if he won't play.
Just a little quick note on that. It's interesting to me that you're getting ready to go to Houston. We're talking about Maurice here. And we're not sure that Maurice had a Lisfranc, but that's what took Matt Schaub out last year in week 10, and he ended up having surgery and was done for the year. So for a lot of people, I think, are questioning, is Maurice going to be able to get healthy quick? You know, is there any question with his foot? That Lisfranc midfoot sprain, whatever it is, that is a serious injury.
Yeah, and you get a gurgling of, well, why is he not playing? Maurice Jones-Drew is a gamer. If he could be on the field, he'd be on the field.
Well, Wednesday is normally for Mike Mularkey a day to really start looking at the opponent for this week. And he told us today in media availability that he changed that approach today, which is a little different on Wednesday, and looked more inside than outside.
Well, he said he usually spends a great deal talking about the opponent when he meets with the team on Wednesday morning. Today he did a cut-up of about 80 plays that showed the Jaguars what they can do when they play well, how close they can be, how well they can play. He said that was really the emphasis. They have to keep doing that, and they have to keep this thing moving forward. And a lot of the players talked about it being a 7-game season. They have to find something to focus on. When you're 1-8, you need something to hold it together.
When you're the head coach, it's your job to motivate a team. And when you're 1-8, you want to find something that your players can sink their teeth into, that can put the blinders on for them, so to speak. So they can focus on the task at hand, which is winning one game. I mean, because if you win one game, it's a better feeling. I don't care, you know, if it's only a couple of them. But if you just get one win, it makes the feeling the next week going to work a lot more fun.
Let's talk about this Houston team. It starts on defense up front. J.J. Watt is about as good as they come in the league.
He is simply an absolute beast. And this is an interesting number. Since 1991, only 11 players in the National Football League, since they started keeping track of this number, have had 10 sacks plus and 10 passes defense plus. And he is now one of the 11.
And already?
Yeah, already.
I mean, week 9.
Week 9, coming up on week 10. And four of his pass defense have led to interceptions. He is, in my opinion, the most dominant defensive player in the game today. And he's very difficult to game plan against because they play him at end, they play him at tackle, and it could be on either side.
I asked Uche Nwaneri today about what do you do about him jumping up and batting down passes. I said, you know, are you ever tempted to just punch him in the stomach? And he laughed. He goes, well, if it was legal. But he said, basically, you have to be aware that he does this and that you have to maintain your block. You have to realize that when J.J. Watt is getting blocked and he knows he can't get the quarterback, he's the best at jumping up and breaking up the play.
And here's a defense that lost arguably one of the best linebackers in football in Brian Cushing against the New York Jets, so he's been out a number of weeks, and they're still number two in the National Football League. And I think a big reason for that improvement has been the play of their corner position. Their corners are outstanding. Jonathan Joseph and then Kareem Jackson on the other side. A couple years ago, Kareem Jackson was viewed as possibly a bust. But those two guys are playing at a very high level. They've got Daniel Manning in the back end, also playing at a very high level. This is a good all-around defense. And here's some other numbers for you, if we're kind of staying along the numbers train.
Keep on. Let's
go. They're number two in the National Football League in defense. But here's the thing that's impressive to me. They have not allowed a rushing touchdown all year. They are number one in the National Football League at three and outs. They are number one in the National Football League in passes defense. And they are number one in the National Football League in opponent completion percentage. Those are impressive numbers. This is a great defense.
Now, I'm no math major, but that's a lot of number one.
Yes.
I wanted to add that.
Thanks. Okay. It's the fedora, I think.
It's the fedora.
I gave you that.
No, they're good.
Hard to, when that hat's squeezing, it's kind of hard to think.
That's
about
right.
Numbers.
Offensively, this is a ball control offense. We saw it firsthand in the game here, I think week two. Methodical marches down the field, then they punch it in with a touchdown at the very end. And as you said, three and outs on the other side. You got to score when you have the ball offensively because they're going to keep the ball all quarter.
And they're playing that way because of what we just talked about.
Right.
Their defense is so good. They're happy not putting Matt Schaub, you know, out in the forefront saying he's got to throw the ball to Andre Johnson a ton. So the motor of this football team is the running game, and the running game has been very good. Arian Foster, clearly one of the best backs in the league. He's right at the top of the rushing charts. They've also got Ben Tate, who's been a little bit injured, and then also Justin Forsett, who's been spelling him when Tate's been out. So it's a very good rushing game, and what impresses me the most is Gary Kubiak is a brilliant offensive mind, and I don't think there's a coach in the National Football League that utilizes the tight ends better than him. Because you can run the ball, that play action with Owen Daniels and also James Casey, who they listed as a fullback, but he's essentially an H-back. The passing game is very creative to those two guys, and it's because of the success of their running game, and it's kind of surprised me. When the first time we talked about this football team, they had a new right side on the offensive line. This from the center to the left tackle, because Dwayne Brown, in my mind, is the best left tackle in football because he's such a good run blocker and he's a good pass protector. But with that left side being the same and the right side being new, I questions would they be able to run the ball as well as they have in the past, and guess what? They are.
One thing kind of going back to week two, the Jaguars will have some opportunities to get the Texans off the field, but against this team, you have to take advantage of third downs when you get them. I'm not sure they're going to get that many third down opportunities. What the Jaguars didn't do against the Texans last time is when they had those opportunities, they didn't get them off the field. They run so well and control the clock so well that it's kind of the old adage for the Jaguars this year. When they get the opportunities, they have to take advantage. They haven't done that enough this year.
A 1-8 team going into a hostile environment. First place, Houston. They're 8-1, guys.
Yeah, this is an interesting week because, you know, the Jaguars have had extra time to prepare for the Houston Texans. They're coming off of the Thursday night game against the Colts. You haven't had a lot of practice time on the field, but you essentially get one extra day on the practice field on this past Monday. And the Houston Texans are coming off a Sunday night tough game against the Chicago Bears in the rain, very physical game. And they have to turn around and play a Thursday night game this week. So the roles are kind of opposite for both of these teams.
I just got to switch up before we end here. I promised black glasses and black hats. So.
And hopefully next week we'll see black glasses and a black hat that fits.
Yeah, or not at all, since the Jags would have won. That
that's
would have
exactly
been the
right.
ideal situation.
Exactly right.
Right?
Exactly. I forgot you're taking off after a win. So
absolutely.
Excuse me for saying next week a hat that fits. How about no hat?
Guys, it's always a pleasure to visit with you. We'll have more practice and more preview of Houston and Jacksonville coming up tomorrow on Inside the Jaguars.